We are following this journey about how to learn how to engage God, to discover him in the realms of the spirit, around us, in us, to understand that God has taken us into relationship so he can bring us into rulership and responsibility. We're on the module, which is called First Love, and we've been looking at this in various stages. First part, we looked at the house of God and us being a mountain and a dwelling for God and a gateway of heaven. And now we're looking at first love itself and going into that in a bit more detail. Why first love? What is first love? Why is first love so important? Questions that we need to find answers to, and hopefully you're finding some of those as we're going on. Our eternal destiny and the very destination that we're going to end up in is at stake on the basis of the experience that we have of those questions. Have we experienced first love? Do we know what it is? Is it a present reality in our lives? So we've actually looked at what it is. Last week we looked at identity and intimacy. And today we're going to look at transformation. How God's love transforms us. How it changes us. How it brings us into his image. So the very power of first love is God's grace. His supernatural ability to heal us, restore us, and make us whole. That power is available today to set us free from all bondages, blockages, prisons of our souls, our minds, emotions, our wills, anything that's hindering us or holding us back from being who God has created us to be, and outworking that in our destiny. God's power through his love can set us free. The power to transform us into the true image that he had for us and of us before the foundation of the world. Sonship. Being sons of God, children of God, and embracing what that means, to be a joint heir of Jesus, to do the things that Jesus did, and greater things he told us that we would do, as being part of his kingdom. So true first love, with love himself, because God is love, is where we find who I am. My identity is found in his love. Why am I here? My value, worth, esteem are found in his acceptance. What is my purpose, my significance, redemptive gift, all the restorative assignments that God has for us to bring creation back into its original condition are found in that relationship of love with him. So where do I come from? My eternal destiny is found in him. Now, when you talk about eternity, you're not talking about something limited to time and space. So everything about that is found in God, who is an eternal God. And everything is in an intimate love relationship with first love himself. So that we can experience that, we can express that, we can come into the goodness of what that is. So God is love, God is spirit, God is light. So the Bible says clearly as a statement in various scriptures. Love carries a vibrational frequency. It's a frequency of the spirit as wavelengths of light. Now, we can go into the technical things of that, but I haven't got time. But you can look at it for yourself and see how our understanding of quantum physics describes everything as a vibrational frequency that through observance comes into form as matter. As God observes me and God spoke about me, I exist. Without God, I would not exist, nor would anything else. So it's really important to get on the right side of God, because we want to make sure he keeps looking at us. We can experience the presence or the frequency of love, and love is the highest frequency there is. When we go on in these teachings, I will do a whole session on frequency and what that means. But love is the highest frequency, and it brings our low frequencies. And sometimes we can be low in frequency, maybe in emotions, maybe in our thinking and our attitudes, maybe actually in our physical bodies. Actually, each of our organs has a frequency which is optimum for its function. And those frequencies can be low because of various things in our lives. But it's through the frequency of love that we can resonate with that. We can come into alignment with his frequency and our frequency changes. So our frequency can be lifted higher. And we can become filled with love so that we can become who God created us to be. We can be embraced by love. And it will change us and transform us if we let it. But God won't ever force his love on us. He gives us the opportunity to choose to receive it and to accept it. Therefore, if we receive God's love and we begin to vibrate at that frequency, then we carry love. So we can be a channel for that love, that frequency, to vibrate and engage others around us. So that his love doesn't remain stuck inside of us, but flows out through us. John 13:35 says, "It is by your love for one another that others will know that you're my disciples." Sort of paraphrased. You know, we can only radiate through us what we've received through our personal experience. So let's get up close and intimate with love. Because then that will change us, and then that will flow through us. Now, there's a word called cardiogenesis. Cardiogenesis is the technical term for the development of the embryonic heart, formed from the genetic record of our earthly parents. And the heart forms and grows, but it carries the record that's come from our past generations. But we can undergo a new cardiogenesis with a new but eternal record of our Heavenly Father, because he wants us to receive the record as our parent, our eternal parent, if you like, so that we can actually be formed into that image. But we need to get his heart and go heart to heart with him, deep to deep with him, to engage that. And that's why God is calling us into a relationship which goes deeper, and experience that relationship can enable us to be transformed and changed. Psalm 84:5 says, "How blessed is the man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion." So our very heart can contain pathways that engage relationship and flow. Ancient paths of life flowing in and through us. It's described in the Bible as the tree of life. And the fruit of the tree of life brings wholeness and healing. And the leaves bring revelation and destiny. Proverbs 23:7 says this, "As he thinks within himself," another version says, "in his heart, so is he." So how you think about yourself and what your thinking is aligned to determines who you are. If we come close to God and we get his heart for us and we get his thoughts about us, then we can become like those thoughts. But if we're reliant on the things that other people have said about us or to us, things we've believed about ourselves as a result of our upbringing and experiences of life, then we can behave and act like that, and we don't need to, because God wants to reveal to us those things which will enable us to be who we really are. See, our heart radiates 10 times more powerful electromagnetic fields than our brain. So most people think most of the thinking that we do goes on in our mind. Actually, most of the storage goes on there. But the electromagnetic frequency can be detected about 12 inches from our brain, but about 10 feet from our heart. The question is, what sort of atmosphere are we radiating? What's coming from us? Doom and gloom? Despair, despondency, heaviness, miserableness, if that's a word? Misery, let's say. Or love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness. What is it that we're radiating? Because it's determined by what we're thinking. And that's determined by what we're focused on. And God wants to engage us and embrace us so that we can be transformed by that frequency of his heart. This is not just in relationship with God and us. It's also in relationship with each other. Because when we become close enough to each other, let's say within 10 feet, then we begin to interact with the fields that are expressed from us. Now, those interactions can be those that draw us together or push us apart, like the poles of a magnet. So when you're exuding misery and miserable and bad attitudes and things, people tend to stay away because they pick up the vibes, we say. You know, if you go around with a dark cloud over your head and everything's always doom and gloom, people stay away. But if you're exuding love and radiating light and a frequency which is full of joy and peace, then people get drawn to us. And when people come together, there is an interaction of those magnetic fields. It's just science, but actually those fields contain things. The emotional information is actually coded and modulated into those energy fields. And we become sensitive to them. And when you're trained and your senses are trained, you can tune in to see and experience what those things are. By learning to flow from the inside out, from our spirits, we can change the information coded in those fields. And then those things are radiated by our hearts, because that's what we're thinking about. Those positive things that says, think on these things. Think on those things which are above, it says in the Bible. Those things which are good and pleasant. Those things which express who God is. Those things can be radiated from our hearts and can impact those around us and impact the world to bring transformation to it. So there can be healing frequencies that flow from our physical bodies that can touch people's lives. Hence, it says in Acts that Peter's shadow healed people. Well, it wasn't just a shadow. It was an expression of the field that was coming from him. Paul actually touched things like aprons and handkerchiefs, and something of the field that he contained was imparted into that material, but when it was laid on other people, they were healed and restored and made whole. So there are plenty of biblical examples of how this works. People came close to Jesus, touched the hem of his garment, and he felt power flowing from the inside of him. We just have to begin to focus on these things and engage them. See, we can be intimately connected to the heart and mind of God, which will change what flows out of us. From that frequency, that vibration of God's love, we can vibrate love. But we also are connected with each other and the very planet, because we're connected to God, to the whole universe, because God's power holds the whole universe together. And he's waiting for sons to be revealed to take their place of authority within his created order. That's why he wants to transform us and change us into that image. Because we're all frequencies. And that sounds strange, but it's true. It's just the way we've learned to perceive and understand those frequencies that we then can engage with them. Now, I want to look at a couple of scriptures in Revelation. Revelation 3:20, we use a lot because it's the scripture which talks about opening the first love gate. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. It's Jesus, God, talking. If anyone hears my voice, so God is also speaking to us, and opens the door, that's our part, as a choice, I will come in with him and will dine with him and he with me. So there'll be a relationship, there'll be fellowship, there'll be sharing. If we hear his voice, open the door and invite him in. And we need to do that on a daily basis because it's a daily relationship that we're looking to establish. But I want to look at the two verses, one before and one after that verse, because they give us some insights into why this verse is so important. Revelation 3:19, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, therefore be zealous and repent. Oh no. I thought this was all good and all nice. What do you mean? You're going to reprove me and discipline me and I need to repent zealously? I don't get that when you're talking about love. Because we have a wrong understanding of what it means to be reproved and disciplined, because it's come from our natural lives. And we have probably a wrong understanding of what it is to repent. Because this is the result when you do receive correction and discipline, and you repent, and you open the door to a relationship. Verse 21, he who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne. And also, as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So Jesus is our example of what love is, and we looked last week at love being very self-sacrificing, of what happens when we respond correctly. We get to rule. We get to overcome all obstacles, everything in our way, and we get to operate on a throne Now, later on in this course, we're going to look a lot about thrones and mountains and different things that we operate on in authority and power. But this is the key that enables us to understand that and to outwork it. Love. And receiving the correct understanding of love. Love equals reproof and discipline. We shouldn't think, oh no. We should say, oh yes. Don't equate discipline with punishment, because it isn't. See, discipline is training, confirmation, and transformation. It's equipping us. It's encouraging us. It's supporting us. It's strengthening us. Repenting, negative or positive. You see, we always have a negative perspective because it's about, oh no, I've been caught out doing something wrong, therefore I need to repent. But actually, if we think about it in a different way, if we're zealous and passionate about how and why repentance works, then we can get a different perspective on it. You see, repentance just means changing our mind and turning. So whenever we look at God and it causes us to change our mind about how we view ourselves and to turn away from that old way of thinking, old behaviors, those old patterns, then we turn to Him, we get to be transformed. We get relationship. We get changed into His image. That's what love brings. Love brings transformation and change. Love heals and restores us. So embracing His loving discipline, and the root word of that obviously is disciple. So becoming a disciple, we're going to look at that much more in the next couple of sessions. Receiving correction, because we're not always right, helps us to be transformed, and that's preparation for even deeper intimacy. Because the closer we get to God, the more we can be changed, and the closer we can get to God. And we can get closer and closer, deeper and deeper, the more we allow Him to change us. Because that creates the desire for intimacy. It helps us choose to daily open that first love gate and engage first love. By turning away from the other sources of things in our lives and focusing on the major source, the source of life, God Himself. And the reward of intimacy is rulership. We overcome and we rule on thrones. And that's our responsibility as children, joint heirs with Christ in the kingdom. So God's first love is nothing like what we've truly experienced in human relationships. We've all experienced love in various forms. Some of us may feel, well, I've never experienced love. Well, you've just experienced the absence of love. So we've all experienced positives and negatives to do with it, but none of it will match up to God. And in fact, our human first love probably caused us rejection, emotional damage, pain, created our insecurities, fears, and our trust issues. So it's really important that we understand how to deal with those things that will separate us from love and separate us from God. Romans 8:35. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? They're all questions. Romans 8:39. Nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now there's a gap between those two verses. That gap is filled with verse 37. In all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. See, there will be tribulation and difficulties and problems in our lives because we live in a fallen, broken world. That's why we need to restore it. But with the power of God's love, we can overcome and conquer each of those situations because God's love is more powerful than anything else. And can be so powerful it can change and transform us and deal with those things. But the truth is, are we experiencing and living that truth? Do we know the love of God in its overcoming power? Because if it's a theory to us, then it won't be outworked in our lives. Do we really know that we're more than conquerors? Is that how we think about ourselves? Or do we think of ourselves as victims or failures or disappointments? Or any other things that the world may have thrown our way. We can overcome because of His love. Now, the question is, are there things that have in the past and still are continuing to separate us from experiencing God's love? For who God always is, he's always love. He's never changed. He never will change. He'll always be love. But are there things that are separating us from that love now? If there are, there will be mindsets. There will be pain, hurt, experiences in the past. John 10:10 says this, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And that was talking about the devil. Because he doesn't want us to experience love. He wants to mess everything up in our lives. So there is a negative force seeking to damage and hurt us. But then there's a positive, which is so much more powerful, that Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. See, God wants us to have an overflowing abundance of life and love. First love releases our destiny. It releases us into being who God called us to be. Damaged love blocks destiny. When some people try and open their first love gates, those gates can appear to be blocked. If you have an image of it, or you have thoughts about it in your mind, those thoughts sometimes can be negative, and the images can be negative. Those blockages are all projections of the soul. Your spirit is your spirit. It is who you are. And as you operate from your spirit, you can open that first love gate. But if your soul is predominant in your life, then you'll begin to operate out of that soul, and the soul will project images because of fear, hurt, pain, and rejection that it's received in your life. Because it won't want you to enter into love again, because love damaged you and hurt you. So it will try and protect itself from further hurt by showing you that you can't open the gate. See, the door can appear to be locked shut. You know, people have had pictures of it being nailed up and all sorts of things. Our soul tried to block to protect us because our belief systems and our behavior patterns. Hurts, pains, rejections, parents, friends, first love relationships, they set up those defense mechanisms to keep us safe, but they actually lock us up and put us in prisons to keep us from love. And many of us have been in those prisons. And some of us still are, because we're on a journey to being set free. Blockages can be seen as images. So when you engage first love, some of you may see that the door is nailed up, that it's barred, that there are brambles all over it, so you can't get through it. Those images are trying to stop us opening that first love gate. The soul's protection mechanism is projection. That creates fear and apprehension because of our past experiences of love. Our soul is what will keep us out of heaven and experience in heaven because of fear and apprehension. See, hurt, pain, rejection, fear, mistrust, we've all experienced. Now, I want to share this picture. We've shared this picture before, but it will help you understand how we get in this state. Jeremiah 2:13 says, my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living water, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken systems that can hold no water. That's what Adam and Eve did by following the wrong pathway. The pathway where they had to provide everything for themselves. We start off with our soul, our heart, which has natural needs built in for love, acceptance, affirmation, significance, purpose. And we have a body to outwork those things in. But our spirit is dead and separated from God. That's how we start. So where are we actually going to get any of those things to meet our needs? From the world. That's our only source. So we're looking to the world for love, acceptance, security, significance, and purpose. Now, we get those through the things we do. Our work, our relationships, money, power, things. Things the world offers to meet our needs, but none of them quite manage to do so. Because there's an emptiness and a hole in us that can only be filled by God. Because that's how he created us to be, to have a relationship with him. So there's a yearning for relationship that we try and outwork through the world. Now, of course, that causes damage. the hurt, the pain, the rejection, the insecurity, the fear, disappointment, guilt, shame, all things that take place and damage us and are operating in our lives. Now, when we get born again, we become resurrected. Our spirit gets life. So now we have access to a new source. We have this fountain of living water that's in us. We have the Holy Spirit. We have God's presence in us. So now we need to learn to draw from the inside out, where all those things can be found: purpose, security, significance, love, acceptance. But now we are somewhat pulled in two directions. The flesh and the spirit are in conflict with one another to who is going to be the source. And if we keep looking to the outside, we keep fueling and feeding the damage. If we look to the inside and we choose to be transformed, restored, renewed to our original condition by the love of God, then we won't need those things anymore. And we have to choose where we're going to have our needs met. And when we choose life, then we can be healed and restored and made whole. Not only that, we can be changed and transformed and transfigured so that what's on the inside of us will be manifested around us as we radiate the love and the frequency of God around to the world around us to bring transformation to the world. That's God's purpose. But if we continue to draw from a cistern or a tank that's got a hole in it, we will never be fulfilled and we'll continually to be damaged. So God wants us to draw from him on the inside of us. Look at your life. See it as a tree. It has lots of fruit on it. That's what people see and experience when they get to know you or they get close enough to you, if you let them. Some of those fruits are the things we're talking about: rejection, anger, fear, anxiety, worry, low self-esteem, insecurity, sickness, depression, addiction. Now, if some of those things are still operating, we have to look at where they came from. What are the roots that created that fruit? Because that's what God wants us to deal with so that we can be free. Think about it. What are you still connected or chained to that you do not want to be? What experiences? What memories? What emotions? What hurts, pains, rejections, betrayals? See, unforgiveness is the yoke that keeps us tied to our past. Because if we've not forgiven and dealt with those experiences, those memories, those emotions, then we'll still be connected to them and yoked to them. And they will still affect our lives and they will still negatively influence us. But God has forgiven us, and he encourages us to forgive everybody else. There's a parable called the unforgiving servant in Matthew chapter 18. Haven't got time to go into it, but if you read it, God forgave this man everything, virtually the whole national debt of Israel at the time, so much money. But he wouldn't forgive someone who owed him a day's wages. And as a result, he ended up in the torture chamber, because his own emotional connection to something did not allow him to forgive. He was, in a sense, tied to that and could not be free. See, we may be rejected, abandoned, betrayed, disappointed, hurt, let down, abused in many different ways. All of us have probably had those experiences, but the question is, are we still yoked to them? Are they still affecting us? Are we allowing people in our past to still damage us today because we've not separated ourselves from them by forgiving them and releasing them? Isaiah 58:6 says this: "Is this not the fast which I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and let the oppressed go free, and break every yoke." See, every connection that we're tied to the past, to those memories, that pain, that hurt, will keep us locked up and unable to change. But when those yokes are broken by forgiveness, then we can be set free. Isaiah 61:1. "Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted." What's good news to the afflicted? You don't need to be afflicted anymore. That is good news. "He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." It's good news that our hearts can be healed and restored. to proclaim liberty to the captives. So there can be freedom for people who are in captivity to anything from our past. Freedom to the prisoners. What are you imprisoned in? And to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. That's the year of Jubilee when all debts are cancelled. So every debt outstanding in your life can be cancelled because of God's love and what Jesus did on the cross, so that we could be free. But we have to receive that freedom, and we have to embrace that good news and allow God to restore us, to heal us, to make us whole, so we can receive his love. Isaiah 61:4, they will rebuild the ancient ruins. So your life might be like a ruin, smashed down. They will raise up former devastations. You know, we may have received devastation in our lives through other people, other situations and circumstances. They will repair the ruined cities, the desolation of many generations. Your whole family line might have been a mess. But those things can be restored if we allow God's love to restore us. How can they be restored? By embracing the transforming power of first love, forgiveness. He has forgiven us everything. You may not think that because you may be suffering from guilt and shame because you don't know the depth of God's love. But he has forgiven everything for everybody. We just need to receive and accept that in our relationship of love from him. Forgive, release, and be free. See, the wounds caused by our fathers, mothers, friends, lovers can be healed. The heart of stone that we may have because of the damage can be replaced and renewed. Our heart can be restored and made whole. Our hearts can receive forgiveness and then release forgiveness to be free. Because that's what we need to do, to release forgiveness to others so that we can be free. Here's a series of diagrams that explain how this happens. Our heart is described in the Bible as soil. Resulting from the lack of love, acceptance, affirmation, affection, appreciation, encouragement, identity, that heart can be a soil of insecurity, which is open very much for negative things to take root in that negative soil. You know, you have soil which is acid, you have soil which is alkaline in natural circumstances. Certain plants don't thrive in acid soil. Certain plants do. So we need to make sure that the good soil of our hearts enables the good plants and the good fruit to grow in our lives. Because what happens is a seed of offense comes along and things happen to us that cause us to have negative experiences. Those seeds of offense, if we don't deal with them, stay in the soil of our heart. They affect our emotions. Now what happens is our responses to that negative experience, that seed of offense, causes us to feel something. Angry, bad attitudes, hurt, resentment perhaps, fear, insecurity. That produces in us roots of bitterness. Those roots go down deep into our heart. They affect our will and they affect our subconscious mind. Now, once they're there, they don't just stay under the surface. They produce fruit of resentment. So our behavior is coming from those roots which came from the seed because we've been hurt. That results in us behaving. What we say, what we do, comes out of that fruit of resentment. Now, some people respond in different ways to what goes on in our lives, but they generally become reason filters. We see the world through all those things, the root of bitterness, the fruit of resentment. That's how we see the world. We may see the world as everyone's against me. We may feel a victim. We may feel useless and a failure. And it filters everything through those things. And we make our choices based on those filters. And most of the time, those choices are bad choices. And they get us into deeper trouble. They draw us to more from the things of the world to try and fix it, or to cover it up, or to blot it out. But actually what we must do is forgive and release. We have to deal with the seed of offense. You know, you can try and dig up the roots. You can try and keep cutting off the fruit. But all it does is just prune it and it regrows. You have to get rid of the seed. Once you've forgiven and released the person, the situation, then that seed can be removed. If the seed is removed, then there is nothing to produce the roots. All we then need to do is repent for the bitterness in our heart, and those roots will be removed. Then we just need to renounce the behaviors and the patterns and the coping mechanisms that we've developed and the filters that we have in place. And that fruit can be removed. Then God can put into our hearts a new seed, the truth of who we really are, the revelation of his love and our identity and our destiny in him. And that will bring security to our hearts, because we will know who we are. And when rubbish comes along, we won't receive it, because we know that God loves us. And then that will produce good roots that draw down from the inside and draw on the river of life and draw on the bread of life and draw on God and his love to bring transformation. And what happens? It talks about the peaceable fruit of righteousness. We live and we appear totally different because we've been transformed by the power of love when we choose to forgive and release and be free. So we may be owed by those who've hurt us. Do we want to get payback? Because unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting someone else to die. Only affects us. It doesn't affect the person that has hurt us or damaged us. It ties us to the memory and the pain of the event. We may be owed. There may be many invoices outstanding where people have not done nice things to us. They've not given us what we've deserved. They may have given us bad things. We've got to settle accounts. We've got to deal with those invoices. What they did or didn't do, choose to forgive them. How it's affected your life. You know, what happened to you in the past, if it's still affecting you now, choose to release them from it so you can then feel and think differently. Make an invoice of those memories that come to mind. Ask God to show you those things. Remove the offense by choosing to forgive those people. Cancel the debt by choosing to release them from what they owe you. Let them go free. Well, I can't do that because they owe me. They're either going to owe you or you're going to set them free. If they owe you, they'll keep owing you for the rest of your life and you'll be tied and affected by what they owed you for. So let it go. Then allow God's love to heal you, break your chains, remove the wounds and the scars that were in our hearts, in our emotions, to set us free to be who God called us to be. Forgive, release, and be free. Break the chains to the person, the memory, or the pain. We are then no longer tied and chained to our past. The wounds can be healed. God's love, that vibrating frequency, will bring restoration as we resonate with it, because we will be able to experience it and feel it in a totally different way. Psalm 139:23. This is a prayer that I would encourage you to pray today. Search me thoroughly, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any hurtful way in me and lead me in the everlasting way. Bring us back to our eternal destiny. But we have to be willing to allow God to bring to the surface and show us anything that we're tied to from our past. In our heart, in our thoughts, in our ways. Let's invite God to access our lives. Every thought, every emotion, every memory, every experience, to penetrate the deepest recesses of our lives, to engage every fiber of our being. Let's let the barriers down. Let's let him in. We can choose today to open ourselves up to God. It may be a scary thing for your soul, but will bring you into a place of peace and joy once you've received his healing love. Choose to embrace first love. Choose to give ourselves to him. Choose to surrender the past to him. Choose to receive his healing love. Choose to forgive and release and be whole. Now we're going to spend some time in the presence of God. I would encourage you to fix your thoughts on him. He's knocking at the door of your heart right now. Don't let your past or your fear or anything that the enemy will try and do to rob you and to steal and destroy, because God wants to give you life. Jesus is knocking. Let him in today. Let him heal you. Let him restore you. He's in our spirit. That doorway is there. The handle is on our side. Are we willing to open that door? So I encourage you just to close your eyes. Just still your thoughts and your mind. Just picture Jesus knocking. And just make a choice. You may see this visually, you may just think about it, but make a choice in your mind to open up the first love gate and to invite his presence into your spirit right now. And as his presence just fills you, just receive love, the very person of love. Just feel that place of security, the power and strength of his love around you. Just let him embrace you. Feel his unconditional love for you right now. Just feel the fire of his love burn in your heart. Feel his embrace love you, surround you. Let that embrace just engage your heart right now. Just let all those things that have been in your heart just melt. Now, I just encourage you just for a few moments just to meditate and think and allow God to show you those things he might want to deal with today. You can't deal with it all today. It's a journey and a process. But you can start that journey of restoration, rebuilding the ruins, dealing with the devastation of the past. Because you stand in the light of his truth right now. Just ask him to show you the seeds of offense, maybe the sin that's taken root in your heart. Just let him reveal those things that you're still connected to. Just allow your heart to be open to him. You may have thoughts, you may have pictures, you may have impressions, you may have memories come into your mind where people have hurt you, let you down, said negative things about you. But make that commitment right now to choose to forgive and release them from all the offenses that may be in your life and even in your generational line. Just make a choice to forgive each seed that comes to your mind, each person or memory. Make that choice. Not because you feel it or maybe even want to, but choose and be empowered by God's love to choose to forgive. Once you've chosen to forgive, then just weigh up in your mind the effect that this memory, this situation has had in your life. and as you weigh up its effects as an invoice outstanding against you, choose to release and cancel the debt. Choose to be free from that person, that memory, that situation. Now just ask God to show you all roots of bitterness that may have grown in your heart. Just let him show you how you feel, how you think in your own heart about yourself and about others. You just commit yourself to a lifestyle of repentance by starting now to repent of all those negative roots, all the negative emotions, all those negative attitudes in your heart, maybe anger or fear. Whatever it is, just repent and turn from it. Allow his love and joy and peace to come into your heart, replacing those negative emotions with the fruit of his love. Now just ask him to show you all the fruits of resentment that have developed as your behaviors, as your defense mechanisms, as your coping mechanisms, as your barriers and your shields. Ask him to show you that fruit in your life. Just commit yourself to a lifestyle that renounces all those negative behaviors, that chooses not to live from those behaviors again. Renounce all your defense mechanisms, coping mechanisms. Just renounce those things as your way of life. Now just allow God's love to bring you the revelation of who you really are as his child. Just ask him to give you a secure heart, knowing who you are, knowing your identity. Just ask him to renew your mind so you will have his thoughts about you. Just let him meet all your unmet needs right now. That need for love and acceptance. That need for affirmation and approval. Those things that you've been looking for in the wrong places. Just turn to him and allow him to pour in the healing oil of His grace and mercy into your heart, to meet your needs in Him, to heal all those unmet needs and hurts, to heal your heart, to restore your soul. Just allow Him to speak and give you unconditional love right now. Surrender, embrace it. Feel His acceptance of you as a person. Just feel His love, the affirmation of who you are, the approval that He looks down from heaven and He embraces you within your own spirit, and He speaks words of affirmation over you, that you are His beloved children, that He loves you, that He values and appreciates you. Just be willing to stand naked and transparent before Him right now, with nothing but who you are and who He is. And just hear His words to your heart. I see you, and I love you. 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 Just let each statement of His love remove the wounds and the scars in your heart. I love you. 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 Just let His love fill you with the value and the worth and the esteem that comes from your relationship with Him. Just make a choice, a conscious decision, to choose to live a lifestyle of forgiveness, repentance, renunciation, and choose to walk in intimate love, to walk in that wonderful relationship that will see His glory manifest through you, that you will radiate the frequency of His light, you will vibrate with the frequency of His love on earth as it is in heaven, that your eternal destiny will be outworked. Just listen to Him as He unveils those hidden mysteries to you. He reveals how special you are to Him. But He shows you how important you are in His plans and purposes. Just let Him transform you. Just feel His love burning in your heart. Just choose daily to open that first love gate without fear. Let Him embrace you. Let Him draw near to you. Let Him continue to heal and restore you and make you whole. Amen. Encourage you, don't see this as a one-off. See this as an opportunity to continue a journey where He will release you and bring you into who you really are in Him.